from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Moments after the United States Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade in 2022, Missouri became the first state to ban abortion with the exception of medical emergencies. Galvanized by that ban, a group called Missourians for Constitutional Freedom kicked off an initiative petition campaign earlier this year to enshrine abortion rights in the state's constitution. They gathered enough signatures and maneuvered through legal fights to place what's known as Amendment 3 before voters. If passed, Amendment 3 will place language in the Missouri Constitution protecting the right to an abortion, and therefore will allow judges to strike down the state's abortion ban and other abortion restrictions. Even though Amendment 3 supporters have more money and scores of volunteers, opponents of the abortion legalization measure are hoping to convince Missourians to vote no on November 5th. Stephanie Bell is with Missouri Stands With Women, a group formed to defeat Amendment 3. The attorney from Central Missouri joins us now in studio. Stephanie, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for the invitation, Jason.
What is the core argument your group is making against Amendment 3?
Well, it's a radical amendment funded by outside interests out of the state of Missouri. As you've already mentioned, they have millions of dollars flooding into our state, and there's really a number of core arguments. First of all, as a mother, we have concerns about the amendment stripping away parental rights. Certainly, we have additional concerns about protections for the unborn, but more than that, healthcare protections for women as well. There's also additional provisions within the measure, like the provider immunity clause, that regardless of whether you're seeking an abortion or whether you're trying to bring a pregnancy to term, that it provides immunity to those who might injure you. There are lots of provisions within this that would be enshrined into our Constitution that I think are causing lots of Missourians very real concerns.
And we'll get to some of those concerns individually, but before we do that, I want to play this clip from State Senator Jason Bean. Bean is a Republican who represents counties in southeast Missouri who voted for Donald Trump by upwards of 70 or 80 percentage points. And I asked him in July about whether his constituents think that Missouri's current abortion ban goes too far.
I hear a lot of the same things that you're saying. I hear that out in the community. I hear that all over, to be honest. So, yes, I think exactly what you just said, not having some of those exceptions, I fear that's going to pass. I think it will.
That was Senator Jason Bean of Dunklin County. Stephanie, if Bean is hearing from people in one of the most Republican parts of the state that Missouri's abortion ban goes too far, isn't that a sign that Amendment 3 may have a solid chance of passing?
Well, I think, Jason, that we've all seen the public polling, that right now it is polling in a way that people expect it to pass. What I think we've also seen is that as people become more educated about what's actually in the amendment, that the amendment is losing support as people become more educated. Not only are we seeing that in Missouri, but in other states that where they are pushing these radical abortion up until birth measures. I think what we're really hearing there from Senator Bean is that there are folks out there that would support tweaks, and I'm going to tweaks to the existing pro-life laws. And you heard him mention exceptions. You know, whether it's a rape exception, incest exception, there are people who want exceptions for fatal fetal abnormalities. Those are tweaks to something that is now legislative. If you support those tweaks, you could elect officials, you could lobby the legislature to have those tweaks made to current law. I think I think both things can be true. I think there could be a majority of Missourians right now who maybe are slightly to the middle of where Missouri's laws are, but that they are vastly in opposition to Amendment 3. And I think that's what you're seeing. And I think the other concern we have is, okay, so Amendment 3 passes. This is enshrined in our Constitution. If at that point we have Missourians out there who say, you know what, I think this amendment needs some tweaks. Maybe you should have to have a doctor in order to perform an abortion or to prescribe an abortion pill, which is not a requirement of the constitutional amendment. But maybe we find out that's a really bad idea and we want to tweak that. Guess what? It's enshrined in our Constitution, and you can't just go to the legislature and ask them to tweak that. You would have to have another constitutional amendment to put in some of these protections in our laws that have protected women, young women, and mothers for many, many years here in Missouri, and that I think are supported by the majority of Missourians.
So you mentioned just now that abortion would be allowed in Amendment 3 up to the moment of birth. And I want to read exactly what Amendment 3 says. It says that the General Assembly, quote, may enact laws that regulate the provision of abortion after fetal viability, provided that under no circumstances shall the government deny, interfere with, delay, or otherwise restrict an abortion that in the good faith judgment of a treating healthcare professional is needed to protect the life or physical or mental health of the mother. And then fetal viability is defined when a healthcare professional determines that a fetus could survive outside of the womb without extraordinary medical measures. So based off this language, how would abortion up to the moment of birth be allowed?
Well, for example, the Ohio measure actually said that the legislature could go in and prohibit abortion after fetal viability. Our measure does not do that. It's much more radical than even what was passed in Ohio. And what we're seeing here is essentially what that says is, well, I think what they wanted it to say is you should have a doctor's note. Actually, it doesn't even say you have to have a doctor's note. It just uses healthcare professional, which is much more broad than just a doctor's note. And what we know with respect to other items, let's talk about prescription drugs where you need, you know, a prescription, essentially a doctor's note, when you needed medical marijuana, before you were able to obtain medical marijuana, where you needed a doctor's note, that really wasn't a significant barrier to those items. And I don't think it's going to be a significant barrier post-fetal viability for individuals seeking abortions well into the third term.
Have there been any instances that you or your group can find where somebody went into an abortion clinic at 8 or 9 months of pregnancy and said, I've changed my mind and I want to get an abortion? Because I've talked with medical professionals and they've told me that is a scenario that literally never happens.
In Missouri, currently abortion is prohibited. And so
there we're talking about before abortion was illegal in Missouri, but continue.
So I think that is a real fear should this amendment pass, because there's nothing in the law that would prohibit that.
Well, I mean, I guess I would also ask, because currently in Missouri, there is a medical emergency section.
Correct.
But there isn't a week limit. So you could make an argument that Missouri already legalized abortion up to the moment of birth. What would you say about that?
I think what we see here is the exception there is much more broad than what's in Missouri's existing law. And it not only talks about someone's physical health, but also mental health. And there are no definitions for what those items are. Right now, Missouri has a definition for what's a medical emergency. What would cause a woman in the eighth? I mean, being pregnant is a stressful thing. I've had 3 children of my own. It is stressful mentally and on your mental health. So at what point can you say, you know, this abortion, it's financially stressful, it's stressful for my relationship, it's causing me mental health issues such that I need an abortion in month 8? And the amendment doesn't define that.
I have actually spoken with State Senator Andrew Koenig, who handled the law banning abortion in the Missouri Senate in 2019. And I asked him what would happen if there was a abnormality that would result in the baby dying immediately after birth under the current Missouri abortion law. Here's what he said.
It's actually very common to have misdiagnoses at that point in time when they're doing those kind of diagnosis in the womb. And so a lot of times, it's not completely accurate. We do have an exception for a medical emergency for the life of the mother. There's situations like a tubal pregnancy where there's the baby is certainly going to die and it would actually kill the mother in that circumstance. And so we still allow for abortions at any point in time if the mother's at risk.
But what would happen if the mother's life was not at risk, but it was very clear that the child was not going to survive after he or she was born?
Yeah, we still prohibit abortion in those cases.
That was Senator Andrew Koenig, a Republican from Manchester, who handled the current law banning abortion in Missouri. So just to add on to that point, I think it's possible a doctor would say that a woman's life isn't in danger when they initially find that a baby will die if they're born. But it's definitely possible that carrying that baby to term could result in health problems that could be life-threatening for the mother. How is that part of the current law not intensely problematic?
Well, I think just what you said, where, you know, if at the point it becomes a health medical emergency for mom, then certainly our existing law would allow a doctor to treat that mother. I mean, that medical emergency is there. As long as it's not a medical emergency, the current law does not address that issue. And I think Senator Koenig had had the right interpretation there. Of course, he was the author. But I think, again, of course, one of the initiatives that was on the table early on in this process, one of the Jamie Corley initiatives, I believe, had exceptions for fetal abnormality. And I would go back to, if that's an exception people would want, that's something that could be added to Missouri law legislatively now. Again, that's a tweak that could be made in the legislature that folks who want could go in and advocate for. I haven't seen that. But once we enshrine this in our Constitution, any sort of those tweaks that we determine later, hey, actually, there's support for, you know, doing these things not via telehealth or doing them, you know, in person, in an office, or requiring a doctor to perform these things, not allowing these abortions to occur or medications for abortions to be prescribed on buses. Any of those tweaks that we decide later, hey, we think this is a bad idea. It's going to be very hard to make any of those changes. And in fact, I think we would have to go forward with another constitutional amendment, which what is the total of their campaign now? They've spent $20 million, something like that.
Over the $5,000 donation mark, they've raised about $23 million since the beginning of the year. But before we ask the next question, what do you mean by abortions being performed on buses?
So we saw at the DNC this year, there was abortion buses traveling, I think, to the DNC. What we know is those buses came from St. Louis. And what we know is Missouri, should Amendment 3 pass, would be the southernmost state with abortion access. And in that case, these buses could just sit along the southern border of Missouri, and Missouri would essentially be an abortion sanctuary state. Right now, that state's Illinois. And what Illinois found was, after Dobbs, they saw a 20% increase in abortion since Dobbs. 17,000 patients from other states sought abortions in Illinois. That was a 49% spike in out-of-state patients. And now folks won't have to go to Illinois because we will have those buses in Missouri, and Missouri will become that state that folks traveling from southern states will come up to get an abortion. Now, they're not performing. So what they were performing in the buses was, I believe, vasectomies, and they were prescribing abortion pills.
We're talking with Stephanie Bell, who is with Missouri Stands With Women, a group formed to defeat Amendment 3, the abortion legalization measure. One of the concerns I've heard from doctors is, yes, Missouri does have a medical emergency exception, but they are worried and concerned that if they have a situation where they think a woman's life or permanent health could be in danger, they would have to, like, consult a lawyer before doing an emergency abortion, and therefore they would probably send the patient to, say, Illinois or Kansas rather than take the risk. What would you say to that concern from medical professionals, including a number of whom have endorsed Amendment 3?
I would be really concerned for any doctors. You know, it's not a medical facility that I would personally want to visit, because if a medical professional was unsure of what their authority was, I would hope that, you know, should that become, you know, once that law was in place, they should have their own lawyers that are advising their doctors of what's appropriate and what's not. And ultimately, you know, we're concerned about protecting women's health.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation that you say that Amendment 3 would shield doctors from being sued at all for malpractice. And again, I want to read the actual text of what you're talking about. No person shall be penalized, prosecuted, or otherwise subjected to adverse action based on their actual, potential, perceived, or alleged pregnancy outcomes, including but not limited to miscarriage, stillbirth, or abortion, nor shall any person assisting a person in exercising their right to reproductive freedom with that person's consent be penalized, prosecuted, or otherwise subjected to adverse action for doing so. I mean, you're a lawyer, I'm not, but I don't see anything in there that says if a doctor or medical professional seriously injures a woman during an abortion that they couldn't be sued. Like, where do you get that interpretation?
It says they can't be otherwise subjected to adverse action. I mean, adverse action is a civil suit against you. And so and I think the really scary part about this is it's not just limited to abortion. So if you go back to, you know, that second sentence, it says anybody exercising their right to reproductive freedom. So if we go back to the definition of reproductive freedom, it's not just those considering an abortion. It's those considering prenatal care, childbirth, postpartum care. So I want that baby. I have a healthy baby. I go in, I'm engaged in childbirth and postpartum care. If that doctor is assisting me in any of those functions and something and they're assisting me, it says can't be otherwise subjected to adverse action. And I think that's a real concern for anyone, whether you are, you know, intending on starting a family or not.
I want to talk about another argument that Amendment 3 opponents are floating, and that's how they contend that the measure would legalize gender transition surgery for minors. And again, I've read through the amendment. There is nothing that explicitly bars the legislature from passing such a law. So I want you to explain how that conclusion came about.
Certainly. So the definition of reproductive freedom lists a number of items, and we just kind of went through those. But it says including but not limited to, creates this list. And so the idea is that it could be expanded beyond just those enumerated items. I think this was an issue that was brought up in Ohio. The language of reproductive freedom was very similar in Ohio. This measure, I don't think, was even drafted at the time this issue came up in Ohio. Folks in Ohio said this covers transgender care. Really easy for those in Missouri who want to say, nope, it doesn't. We don't want to include transgender care. You could just add a sentence on the end of there that says reproductive health care does not include gender-affirming health care or whatever term you want to use. That was a choice that the proponents of this measure made not to include. I would also say that I saw Mallory Schwarz, who's with Constitutional Freedom, on a different program, and she was specifically asked, hey, these folks are saying it covers transgender surgeries, it covers other things, and all she would say is, those are distractions. Amendment 3 is about freedom. At no point did she deny that after this amendment passed, that minors would be able to seek transgender care without parental notification. Why wouldn't she just come out and say, nope, it's not in our amendment? They're not saying that. And if you look at to the folks that are pushing these measures, not just in Missouri, but around the nation, those two items are synonymous for them. And I think it was an intentional choice by them to not carve that out. And I think that is the real effect of this amendment.
The Kansas City Star wrote an article examining this claim, and they quoted University of California Davis Law professor Mary Ziegler, who said the following: I've never seen anyone argue that gender-affirming care is reproductive health care, in part because gender-affirming care doesn't really, I mean, I guess you could argue it makes people unable to reproduce, but it's not something that an obstetrician, gynecologist would deliver. What do you make of that quote?
Well, I have a screenshot here from the National Women's Law Center where the headline is "Reproductive Rights Include Bodily Autonomy for Trans and Intersex Youth." So this claim is being made. Those things are being said. And the ACLU, who has been pushing and litigating this issue in many states, including Ohio and others, they wrote an article saying the intertwined future of attacks on abortion and gender-affirming care. And to quote them, they said, you are the rightful author of your own life story. Both abortion and gender-affirming care give us the freedom to determine our own paths. So this is not something that we are putting words in their mouth. This is what they are publicly saying on the internet.
But some forms of gender-affirming care do not affect reproduction. Like, for example, if you get top surgery but not bottom surgery, you can still reproduce. So because the entirety of gender transition surgery doesn't affect reproduction, isn't it a stretch to say that it equates to reproductive health care?
I don't think it's a stretch to think that that's what we are going to see as a court argument from the ACLU. Again, on this article from the National Women's Law Center, they say protecting the right to self-determination of gender identity and bodily autonomy is part, and they use a different term here, reproductive justice. And so when they're talking about gender-affirming care and transgender issues, they talk about it in those terms as either reproductive freedom or reproductive justice. So again, these are not words that we are coming up with. These are words that they are using on the internet themselves. And again, they could have just simply carved it out in the measure and they made an affirmative choice not to do that.
I want to read you a quote from St. Louis County Attorney Bridget Dunlap, who's a supporter of Amendment 3, that she wrote in the Missouri Independent. Dunlap wrote that the abortion rights opponents don't believe the things they're saying about Amendment 3, and this will be proven as soon as it becomes law. They will flip-flop completely, just like their compatriots in Ohio did, in order to argue that Amendment 3 actually did next to nothing to bar them from enacting and enforcing the kind of endless obstacles that made it nearly impossible to have an abortion in Missouri even before the Dobbs decision. What do you say to that?
I think a lot of this is going to play out in court, and that's what we're seeing. And you just heard me say, I think that's what they're going to argue. I think that proponents of this measure are going to use this measure to argue that it covers transgender surgery. Certainly, there will be people in the pro-life movement who say that it doesn't. And I think this is going to be tied up in court for many years, but we're going to be constrained by what we've now potentially enshrined in our Constitution.
What do you say to people who support Amendment 3 and to women who say, I should have control over what happens to my body and for my own healthcare decisions?
I say that, again, I think this is a legislative issue. And I think again, if we're talking about Missourians who want exceptions, that's something that can be done legislatively without going to the extreme of allowing abortions up until the third trimester.
Do you think, though, that is a likely outcome, given that many of the people that wrote the current abortion ban are now in the Missouri Senate and probably would filibuster any effort to undo what they passed in 2019.
I got out of the game of predicting what the legislature's going to do a long time ago, Jason.
I mean, if we could predict what the Missouri legislature could do, we probably would be own several Ledoux mansions by now.
That's right.
But thank you so much for being here. Stephanie Bell is with Missouri Stands for Women, a group seeking to defeat Amendment 3. We interviewed representatives from Missourians for Constitutional Freedom earlier this year. You can listen to that conversation wherever you find your St. Louis on the Air podcast. Stephanie, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Jason.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.